My name is Tom Walker. I live at Denali Park, and I had the honor of meeting your son in 1981 at Igloo Campground. I went into the campground to set up a tent in my favorite place, and there was already this person in it. And it turned out to be your son, Michio. We sat by the fire that evening and had a little talk. He didn't speak very much English, and I speak zero Japanese, except to say Toyota and Subaru. Over the years, we got to be very good friends. He had a wonderful sense of humor, and we used to tease each other quite a lot. He would look at me and say, "Tom, are you joking me?" And I would say, "Yes, Michio, I'm pulling your leg." And of course, that didn't mean much to him. He never had heard that phrase before. And he says, "What does this pulling your leg mean?" And I said, "It means I'm joking you." And so a few days later, he looked at me, and I was kidding him, and he said, "Tom, are you pulling my foot?" We had many, many good laughs together. He was a very kind-hearted person. When I dealt with him in the park, it was usually on the park road, and he drove these old junk cars. And one day I saw this car coming down the road like this with two flat tires on the same side. He pulled up to me and said, "Tom, do you have a spare tire? My tire's flat." And I said, "Michio, they're both flat." And he tried to look out the door to look at it. And I said, "Michio, get out and look." He said, "I can't. The door is wired on. It might fall off." I like to remember your son as a very kind person. That's why I'm telling these funny stories about him. He had a special gift with animals and nature. We used to joke among us American photographers that if Michio was here, the sun would come out. Or if Michio was here, a moose would come or a bear would come. One time when he was sitting on Stony Hill late in the evening cooking his dinner, a wolf came up the road. And he was very proud of his new camera. It was an F3, Nikon F3. The wolf picked up the camera that was laying on the ground and ran away and broke it when it dropped. And then it came back again, and Michio made a picture of the wolf with Mount McKinley in the background. It's in his book that was published in 1991. Michio and I went to a movie together once. It was called Moonstruck. It was a beautiful, lovely picture about love in an Italian family. And during the movie, I looked over at him, and he was crying. And I said afterwards, "Did you like the movie, Michio?" And he said, "I loved it very much. It's the best movie I ever saw in America." He said, "One day I hope to be moonstruck." That one year, not too long ago, he had gained a little weight. And he said to me, I took him out to dinner, and I was going to buy him dessert. And he said, I offered the dessert, and he said, "Tom, I'm not eating dessert because women don't like fat men." And about a year later, when he came back from Japan, he walked up to me, and he took his shirt and went like this and said, "Tom, look, no belly." About a year after that, shortly thereafter that, he married Naoko. I remember one thing that hurts me greatly that he told me twice. He said to me on two different occasions, he said, "Tom, my great dream is to one day photograph a bear with my 600-millimeter lens with my son in my backpack." I just wanted to say I'd always wanted to meet you. You gave us a great gift in your son. Thank you very much.
Michio, even before you died, I missed you. We hadn't spoken for weeks. I hadn't seen you in months. and we hadn't done a trip together in years. My name is Kim Hecox. I met Michio in 1979 in Glacier Bay. And he had been kayaking up in the bay. He came down from the end of his trip, and he was very hungry. He hadn't had enough food. So my roommate, Richard Steele, invited Michio to dinner. And Michio sat at the table, and Richard put in front of him some potatoes and some crab and some halibut. And Michio was very thankful, and he ate with great relish. Well, he cleaned his plate, and Richard saw this and thought, oh, he's very hungry, I'll give him some more food. So he put more food in front of Michio, and Michio, being Japanese, was going to honor his host by eating all of the food on the plate. So Michio finished his second helping. Richard came back into the kitchen and saw, this man is very hungry. I better give him some more food. He gave him some more halibut and crab and potatoes. And Michio thought, I'd better eat all this food. So Richard left. He's a hyperactive guy. He was bouncing around from room to room. And I had traveled to Japan at this time and knew a few Japanese customs. And I knew that there was trouble afoot, and I said to Richard in the back room, you better stop feeding this guy, you're going to put him in the hospital. And that was my introduction to Michio. I feel about him the same way all of you do. We stopped in Angoon once during a trip, and all of the Tlingit people there were very eager to get to know Michio. He had a tremendous charisma, and I said to him, are you going to photograph any of these people, Michio? And we had just been there for a couple hours. He said, oh no, I would need to live with them first before I photographed them. And we talked one night, late at night, at Pete and Bill Mickelson's in Prince William Sound about wilderness and photography. And we arrived at the idea that in scenery, you see more than you can absorb in scenery. But in wilderness, you absorb more than you can see. And in Michio's photographs, they went vastly far beyond scenery. They captured wilderness, the vast landscapes and the animals in them. And talking about how you just don't love a landscape, you fall in love with the landscape. It means that much to you. I thought it was wonderful that Michio's bylines were never larger than the subjects he was photographing. Moose, Michio Hoshino. I last remember him in Toklat River in Denali Park walking hand in hand with Naoko. Michio photographing marmots and Naoko sketching wildflowers on the tundra. Starting a family with Shoma. And I thought, Michio, if you could only be here now and see what a very large family you have. Thank you.
So we got to a place where we could turn and come back, and I asked Michio if we should come back or go a little farther, and he said, let's go a little farther. So we went farther, and a few miles later I asked him if we wanted to turn around and come back or go farther, and he said, please, let's go farther. By now we were out in the middle of Goldstream Valley. The trail had opened up into a big swamp, and we could see ahead of us pretty well. So I asked Michio if he wanted to drive the team. And we changed places on the sled. I rode in the basket, and he stood on the runners. And we went on and on and on and on. Michio's expression was very intense, and he had a very soft smile on his face. Several hours later, I asked Michio if we could please turn around and go back, because I was very cold. That was the beginning of my friendship with Michio, and I don't think that friendship will have an ending. Whenever I'm out in the land, Michio will be there. When I have choices to make, to go a little farther, to learn a little more, to live a little truer, I'll remember the example of my gentle friend and try to honor him with my own living. And yes, there will be a time each winter on just such a snowy day when I will ride in the sled, trusting that Michio will be on the runners. The people we love never die. My comments would have ended there a few weeks ago, but as we've all come together working for this ceremony today, I've learned an even more wonderful thing about Michio. So many people loved him, and he left so much love behind. This is surely the true measure of a life. The love will just keep growing as it blooms here today. This is my most important memory I have of Michio. Thank you for bringing him to us.
My name is Jean Lester. I live in Fairbanks. I knew Michio only very briefly. I was writing a book, and I wanted to include him. And the book is of paintings and his story. And I only have rather funny things to say about my wonderful association with Michio. We met twice to do the painting. And the first time, we didn't get very much done because we spent a great deal of time just talking and laughing. He was telling me about Nyoko and his son and the joy and wonder of having a child. We have a son. We share this and just went on and on. He was telling me of growing up, and I said, what remarkable parents you must have. Because he told me a story that I can't seem to get anyone else that remembers or knows, and I'm thinking maybe I was confused, but sure, he told me this. We were talking about my son being in Europe at 18 and just needing to do this and go adventure. And I think and what he said is he came to Los Angeles when he was about 16, and he didn't speak any English, and he hitchhiked across to New York, and I said, your parents must have been frantic. I mean, frantic, now you understand. And he said, oh, yes. And I said, did you call them? And he said, no. I said, did you write them? No. And he started to laugh, and he said, I got home, and I walked up, and they thought I was dead. And I said, and then they nearly died when he came in, because they were so surprised. And I said, what if your son, what if Shoma did this to you? Oh, no, he'll never do that. He'll never do that to me. No, no, no. And I said, you wait, you wait. You've got those genes in there. You're going to get yours back. And I just had a chance to do one little sketch that time, which he said reminded him when he was a boy. And then he came again, and we decided we really must work, because there was not much time, although he never made me feel pressed for time, but I was so aware he did have time. And I just have to quickly say something. When I heard of Michio in the context that he admired my work, and when I began to know him, I realized that this was part of his gift to everyone. I'm sure that there are many people that he admired and loved for their work, and he was so humble and great. And I wanted to meet him because I wanted to meet who this marvelous man was who thought my work was so marvelous. He did me great honor. And when we first had a telephone conversation, I'm not very aware of the Japanese culture, and I had asked him to be included in my book, and he phoned me and said it was such an honor. And I said, oh, yes, and for me it is such an honor. And he said, well, for me it is such an honor. And I said, well, for me it is such an honor. And I thought, we've got to do something about this, because I didn't know. And later my husband said, my God, I thought you were just never going to end. And I said, well, I didn't know what to say. He kept saying these nice things, and really, you know, I was so honored. And he said, Jean, that's just the Japanese custom. And so, oh, okay. So when we got to talking, I mentioned this, and we both just laughed so hard. So I have a painting for you. It's not quite finished. We were arranging to meet this fall to do the interview and to paint you. And I would like to honor this commitment sometime, either here or in Japan. And I realize, too, now, of course, what wonderful parents he had. And I feel truly blessed. Of course, we go through life always thinking we have endless time. But it was a gift. He was a gift. Thank you.
My name's Dan Dahl, and I'm from Tokyo now. I met Michio about 7 years ago in Denali Park when I worked as a naturalist for a lodge there. And freak set of circumstances how I ran into him, and I speak Japanese, and so he was interested in talking to me to see what this big tall guy was doing in the middle of nowhere speaking Japanese, and we talked quite a while, and I really was impressed how what a special guy he was. And at the time, his parents were visiting at Camp Denali, and he was really excited about that, to bring his parents to the place that he loved. And he had just completed his home that we also heard about today. And so he was quick to invite me to come, whenever I came to Alaska, to come back and stay at his house that he was very proud of. And I went back to college, and it was my first summer. It was my first summer here, and I missed it so badly that I just had to figure out some way to come back to do something here. And he had given me his phone number, so I called him up, and he remembered who I was, and it was really nice on the phone, and introduced me to Mr. Shinkai, who was his good friend, and said that I could probably maybe, you know, do a tour for as a guide for one of the tours that Mr. Shinkai was thinking about bringing over here. And I had no idea who the tour company was, and I didn't have any idea who Mr. Shinkai was, and I'd only met Michio for about an hour, but I thought, well, that'd be okay, and I trusted him. He seemed like a nice guy, and so I spent the money to fly up here and met Mr. Shinkai, and we hit it off right away, and it was the three of us who, it was Michio's idea. He was talking about how much he was impressed by the Ruth Glacier area, and he said sometimes when the aurora comes out there, it's almost scary, he said, and that he wanted to somehow bring Japanese kids over. And Mr. Shinkai said, well, we could do that, let's do that. And I said, sure, let's do that. So, and now 5 years, we've brought kids every year, and it's been a great, well, obviously, incredibly life-changing thing for me to be with him. And I can probably, if I can get through this, I can probably fill in some of the stories, which is we all who know him were long in coming from Michio. He wasn't one to tout anything or to brag or anything. So the stories you heard about his life took me 7 years to hear just a few of them. And one of the ones you just mentioned was about him coming to America when he was 16. And he said, oh, Dan, I was so excited to come to the... He came on a boat. He didn't fly. He came on a boat. And he said, I was so excited to get off the boat in Long Beach and have nobody there to pick me up. And he said he toured all over, and he wanted to go down to Mexico to the Yucatan, I think it was, but they wouldn't allow him to go because he was too young and he needed a parent's signature to get across the border. But he somehow convinced the people at some embassy somewhere to forge a signature to get him across. And I don't even know if his parents know this. I mean, he hitchhiked all over there, and he said he loved Peter, Paul, and Mary. So he thought he wanted to meet them. So he went to their office in New York. That was written on the back of one of their albums. Of course, they weren't there, and he was very disappointed, but he laughed a lot about that. He just thought they'd be there for some reason. He could just show up and talk to Peter, Paul, and Mary. And he met some people. I think they picked him up or something near Banff. That's where I grew up, in Calgary. And he met some people there, and they were really nice to him. Anyways, he went back a few years later to go to their house, and this is a typical Michio. He didn't know how to find him, really. He said, come to our house, and they gave him some instructions. And so he landed in Edmonton and got off the plane and got on a bus, and was, you know, as he is, being nice to people around him, began talking to the woman next to him, and she asked him, well, where are you going? And he told her, and she goes, well, that's my sister, and took him right over there to the house. Typical Michio experience, and he's still friends with those people to this day, from what I understand. Seeing Michio with the children, as everyone has spoken about today, was a special experience. I'm not sure whether he had a lot of reasons for doing it. One of the reasons, I think, for him was he loved to play I'm not sure what the best translation for it is, but he loved to play batsugemu, and to have it's you know, there are games that have some kind of punishment attached if you can't if you make a mistake or if you lose, and he loved to play those games with the kids. And in fact, and we'd be up he'd be up with them all night long, every night with the kids. None of them would sleep for 5-6 days while they were here, because he'd keep them up all night playing games. And that was a great experience with the kids, and to see the effect that he had on the children. I mean, they just obviously worshipped him, because he just, you know, every once in a while would tell a little story about this or about that, and the kids would just, you know, they'd just be awestruck, because these are kids who've, you know, never seen a falling star or never done anything like that, and all of a sudden we have them out there in the middle of nowhere, and they're pretty frightened, but it's a great experience. And boy, I'm just I just can't say how much how special he was to me and to all the kids, and I know we're all going to miss him a great deal. Just can't believe what a great influence he's been on my life. The job that I have today is because I met him. He introduced me to people who introduced me to people who have hooked me up with the work I do now. So it's been a great blessing to have him in my life, and I look forward to the very beginning when I first heard about it. I just didn't know how I could possibly go with the kids again and be out there and not have them there. I just, you know, I don't know if I can do it even now. But the more I think about it, I know that we have to keep taking those kids out there, because that's what he'd want. That's a good thing. Thank you.
I don't know how many more people want to contribute, but I think we're going to have to start winding things down a little bit. But I would also just like to say that being around Michio is a life-changing experience. And I have a very strong feeling that he's merely transferred his realm to a bigger one, and he's still changing our lives. I think Mr. Hoshino would like to say something as a conclusion to this part of our program, and I offer you the microphone.
I am his father.
I am here.
I heard so many interesting stories, shared memories with all of you here, and he found reason why he loved so much about Alaska.
Michio wa Alaska ga suki de maimashita kedomo, toshi o kasaneru ni shitagatte masu masu chiyoku Alaska ni hikareta yō desu.
He came here because he liked Alaska, but as years go by, he liked more and more about Alaska. He comes back home every once in a while to Japan.
帰る時に飛行機に明日乗れるという日は 非常にこう顔つきが変わってくるんです。Right
before he goes back to Alaska, his facial expression changes.
アラスカに帰ることがそれほど嬉しいのかと思うようです。これはナオコ・ショーマができる前からですから。Because he
just loved to go back to Alaska. He loved Alaska, and this was even before Naoko and Shoma were with him.
で、好きなアラスカに来まして、道夫が自分の歩く道を、まあ、探し求めたといいますか、20年の間に、たくさんの先輩友人に支えられて、また皆様の温かい心に守られて、20年の間の足跡は野や山にだけでなくて、皆さんの深い交流の中にも足跡が残っているんじゃないかと思います。道夫は
He found his way up to Alaska, and all of you who met, all of you who Mr. Hoshino, Michio-san met here in Alaska has supported him so much, and the footprints that he made are not only in the wilderness that he loved, but also in the hearts of everybody here.
Michio は本当に幸せな20年間を過ごすことができましたことは、ひとえに先ほど申し上げましたような皆様の温かいお力添えと深い友情に支えられたことだと、つくづく私は感謝を申し上げたいと思います。道夫に代わって厚くお礼申し上げます。
He is very thankful for supporting him and the life that he had here in Alaska.
道夫はいなくなりましたけれども、直子と昭和が残りました。
Although he's gone, Naoko and Shoma are here.
道夫がいなくなってもアラスカを離れることはできないと思うんです。
Even though he's gone, they would not leave here. They would not like to leave Alaska.
どうかこれから何かと皆様のお力添えをいただくことが多いかと思いますけれども、どうぞよろしくお願い申し上げます。本日はありがとうございました。
Please, support Naoko and Shoma for their life in Alaska, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your taking the time to express how you feel after this meeting. And I think people might be interested to know that this altar contains some of the ashes of Michio, and they will be scattered here in Alaska so that part of him will be here forever. the next thing on the program will be Walter Newman's singing the wedding song, and after that, the family of Naoko and Michio will lead us in singing the song, which is on the back of your program. And we may hum along, but we will be joining with them. So first we'll have Walter, and then we will sing that. And then we're going to have a friendship circle, and I think I'll let Mary Shields tell us how we are going to manage that. And we are going to have a potluck supper here, and it should begin at 6 o'clock or shortly thereafter. And there is plenty of food for everybody, and we hope everybody will stay and join us in that. Thank you.
Believe me, I will need this. I first met Michio when he first came to Alaska in the early 1970s. I had at that time wanted to develop Japanese tourism in Alaska, and I heard about this young Japanese person that loved Alaska so much that he kept coming back to Alaska to work here. And so some friends of mine gave me a phone number for the University of Alaska, and I called there, and he said, well, I will meet you at Travelers Inn, where some Japanese photographers are working. I kept calling back and calling back, but he had gone somewhere to do something and had forgotten about our meeting there, so I waited and waited. Finally, the next day, I called back again, then he came over. But Michi and I had a very, very close relationship, a very dear friend. He's really my brother. We traveled together throughout Alaska. We've camped out together. We've slept on people's floors. We've bum rides in airplanes. We've We traveled together throughout Alaska. We've camped out together. We've slept on people's floors. We've bum rides in airplanes. We've worked together in so many places. And his great love was people. He was friendly with everyone. Loved little children. Most of all, he loved to take pictures. We went to Chalkeetsuk, and we stayed with Reverend David Salmon in Chalkeetsuk, and we were there for 10 days. And I did interviews with the people where we had, I had proposed to the Athabascan Old Time Fiddle Festival that I would do a book for them on Athabascan Old Time Fiddling, and I asked Michio if you would like to come along and do pictures for me. And he said, this is something I would really love to do. So we got a grant from Frontier Flying Service to travel to anywhere in Alaska that we would like to go. And we took great advantage of this, and we traveled together. And while we were in Chalkeetsuk, I noticed that he sat there and he wrote a lot. And then he would speak to himself. He'd be talking to himself. And I'm sitting there, and I said, Michio, what are you saying? He said, I'm talking to myself. I said, well, but what are you saying? He says, I'm practicing American slang. And I said, but what are you saying, Michio? He said, the lights are on, but nobody's home. At that time, we had been up maybe for 2 days doing pictures and doing interviews and stuff like that, and I could see he was getting tired, and that was his reason for saying the lights are on and nobody's home. What a great honor for me to know a man like Michio. I have a lot of love in my heart for this man. Michio, Naoko, and Shoma and I, we usually go eat at the Thai restaurant here. And early this spring, we went to have dinner down there, and we were standing outside talking, and the lady that, the people that own the restaurant there, the lady came out, and we were standing there talking, and this lady asked Michio if I was Michio's father. What an honor, I thought. I was so happy. Yeah. I've attended many, many functions at his house. And one of the ones that I will always have great memory for would be his wedding reception. And I played the guitar and sang for he and Naoko. And he said, you know, that's my love song. He said, every time I went to his house, he got the guitar and gave it to me and said, will you please sing my song? So I'd like to.
I have held you, girl. You ain't never made me feel so good before. Love me some more. I have kissed you, girl, but lips ain't never tasted quite so sweet and warm. Sweet and warm. I have loved you, girl. I ain't never really loved you from the heart, but I'm gonna start with every touch you're painting pretty pictures with your hands, creating precious feelings that my body understands. I can almost hear the music playing somewhere soft and low, for I have loved you, girl, but not like this. I have loved you, girl, not like this.
Almost a month ago, maybe now, that was early in the morning, a friend of mine called me up and just began reading me the headlines of the newspaper, and I dropped the phone. I was crying. I couldn't believe what I'd heard. I miss him, but I thank you for bringing me such a wonderful friend. Thank you.
Please, let us say, let's sing a song together. It's called "Ware wa Umi no Ko." So this the number. The Michio likes this the song. So when he going to Luz Gracia with kids, so he sing a song. A guitar. Hi.
This is not a very simple melody, so please sing together. There are many Japanese here, so please sing in Japanese. And the poem is romanized, so everyone can sing, so please sing together.
ですか。
我は海の子、白波の騒ぐ磯辺の松原に煙りたなびく駒屋こそ我が懐かしき住みか
before we close and break for supper, and that's a poem. It came all the way from Australia.
I'm Mamoru Matsuki. I used to house it for Michio, and probably I've talked to many of you when you called him up in summertime. And I'm glad to meet you finally. All right, okay. I'd like to say a few things before I start the poem. All right. Okay, death is a funny thing, isn't it? Because we all have to face with, just like birth. And this poem's about how different people just look at the process, the fact that we have to all die. But okay, here you go. There are two words, Athabascan words that I don't know. Okay, this is not my poem. Poem by Mary Tallmountain. Okay, goes like this. Sokoya. I said, looking through the net of wrinkles into wide black pool of her eyes. What do you say in Athabascan? When you leave each other? What is the word for goodbye? A shade of feeling rippled, the white wind-tanned skin. Nothing, she said. Watching the river flash. She looked at me close. We just say, Tla. That means, see you. We never leave each other. When does your mouth say goodbye to your heart? She touched me like as bluebell. You forget you when you leave us. You're so small then. We don't use that word. We always think you're coming back, but if you don't, we'll see you someplace else. You understand? There's no word for goodbye.
thank you all for coming, and I hope you will stay and join us for our potluck supper. And I can't tell you how much this has meant. It's a wonderful experience, and I hope you all share in it as I did. Thank you very much. Thank you for meeting you.
See you right away.
Thank you. career void. Two or maybe one is dependent on the job role.
Okay.
We'll see you again.